the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
The Great Escape Festival is one of Europe's biggest festivals for new music, and it takes place here in Brighton from the 18th to the 20th of May this year. And one of the acts that are performing are from Northern Ireland. They're called Roba Cobra Quartet. And joining me on the phone right now from that band is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
I hear it's a bit of a special day. Well, you were telling me a few minutes ago, it's a special day for you today, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's my birthday today, actually. Yeah.
Fantastic. Any surprise presents so far?
No, just lovely cards from friends, really, which has been nice. There's a plan for a kind of a little dinner, get together with some friends. It's all very, very nice and quiet, which is good.
Nice and refined and sophisticated.
Yeah.
Very good. So listen, you're not long back from South by Southwest Festival in the States as a band. How was that?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, it was a lovely time. So that would be the first time that we've gone to the US. And it just worked out really well. We had like a little bit of time off before and after each of the shows. On either side of the shows, and that just kind of meant that there was a bit of a breathing space. We got to go see some things and also just get out of the city for one day as well, just to like see some nature and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really good. And the shows themselves, you know, there's a real there's a lot of real transitive kind of audience as you play. People come and go constantly. It's hard to engage, you know. I guess if you play some of the music, or if you have played some of the music on the show now, you'll kind of hear that it's you sort of want to stick around with us. You kind of need to stick around from the start to the end to get an idea of what's going on. Otherwise, you're like, what's going on? So it was a little bit worrying that maybe we wouldn't have the sympathetic audience, but it turned out great. So I was really, really pleased. Yeah. Exceeded expectations.
Well, I would certainly suspect that a lot of the audiences that would be going to the South by Southwest would be quite into their music anyway. They would kind of, you know, they would know the flow of it and kind of be supportive of that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there was a lot of people who were engaged, and that's like more than you can ask for, you know.
Yeah, I suppose it's a nice precursor to The Great Escape, because it's a very similar vibe over here in May for that festival. A lot of new bands, a lot of bands that you kind of will stumble across. Now, you're part of kind of, I suppose, a contingent, an Irish, Northern Irish contingent at this year's Great Escape Festival. You guys formed in Belfast, I believe. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
So how long have you been on the go for?
Well, we started playing shows in April 2014. So that's kind of when we formalized, I suppose, but in kind of different ways we'd played together and been figuring things out. And we'd studied at the Sonic Arts Research Centre in Belfast, which is sort of like a place where weirdos go to make weird music and, you know, play with electronics and stuff like that. So that was a time that we kind of met a lot of the people who are in the band now. And I was kind of working on a piece of music that involved like a randomization that a computer would put up instructions on a screen to improvise to. And then that kind of percolated into some songs that we were writing, and then it turned into the band thing. And so it was all pretty I guess like I'm really interested in the music is quite improvised, but I'm interested in improvising in the wider scale as well, in terms of things like membership or things like, you know, what really is the band, or like in our approach, you know. So in that sort of a sense, the it happened quite fluid as well, if you know what I mean.
So kind of experimenting with the idea of what a band is, which is interesting, because you mentioned that on the website that you see yourselves as an expanding, contracting, and ever-changing collective.
Sure.
How many changes have you had so far then in that case?
Well, it's interesting because, like, for instance, when we're in the studio, there may be like, you know, 15 or 16 people that will work on the record. And, you know, some people will play, a few different people will play saxophone, a few different people will play, you know, like do electronics or play piano. And it's just really, by the very nature, it's not formalized. So I couldn't really give you a quantity, to be honest, but it's just to do with, you know, playing to people's strengths. And I write a lot of the music, and it's like, who would be able to really deliver on this? Who could really get behind this melody or this part? Or very often, who would do a great job at improvising over this? Do you know, because a lot of stuff is left open to let people, you know, express themselves on it. So it's all just kind of what's the song asking for, you know. And I think that's kind of, it helps in a lot of ways, I think, to not to be too strict, both musically but also in terms of how you are as a band, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, we only play this kind of venue, we only play pubs, you know, like, or something like that. I think it's like, you don't serve yourself very well to restrict yourself in any case, you know, in life.
Pour over a week.
So when you're touring then, do you have a set band for that, or does that change as well?
Well, that's the thing. It's interesting. I mean, when you have something very literal, like, you know, an offer for a show somewhere, it's like, you need to pay for flights. You need to pay for, like, these are real, real things, you know, like, that are tangible. So obviously we're not able to be like, we'll go on the plane tomorrow. You know, I mean, you do have to plan these things.
Yeah.
So by that virtue, of course, like, there, like, in recent times has been, you know, for instance, the last couple things we did, including South by Southwest, was a person, Ryan Burrows, who played bass on those tours. He wasn't actually playing bass on the record. He did some noise and electronics and effects on the record. But, you know, he's certainly the bass player for that period of time. And he's gone to Australia now for a bit. So we have Nathan Rogers, who's playing bass. And he has done a bunch of stuff with us in the past, but wasn't able to do those shows. So it's still quite fluid, but by most concerns, it's always the quartet that play live,
okay.
Which is traditionally drums, bass, and two saxophones in our case.
Okay, so I suppose the sound or the shows, then, if you go see a show today, there might be a slightly different lineup for, you know, a show down the road.
Yeah.
Does that affect your styling of music on each tour? Does it change how you approach what songs you play, for example, in your sets?
Yeah, exactly. That's dead on, actually. It's we kind of will rehearse, and then it's like, sometimes it's not really a thing to do with like skill or talent. It's just like, who really takes to a certain song, you know? And sometimes it's like, well, that one doesn't really sound as good with you, so let's not do that on this tour. Or vice versa, you know. It's like, like the last couple of things we've been doing, I was saying with Ryan, he's like a really aggressive player. So a lot of the songs that have like a real harsh kind of edge to them came out for those last few runs, you know? So absolutely. It's just about like stretching and like accommodating to what the circumstances are. You know, if you have a bass player who has lots of distortion pedals, well, let's try using tunes that are like really harsh and aggressive.
Cool, that sounds good. I suppose if we're to use a football analogy, I guess your strategy changes then on each tour depending who's in the team.
And it stops things from getting boring as well.
Yeah.
Like I'd have to admit that like I can have at times a short attention span with music and stuff. And if there's someone, if you look to your left and there's a different player playing sax or something, and they're bringing something new, then I'm, you know, we're less likely to get bored, I think.
Yeah.
And the audience is less likely to get bored because you're not looking at someone on stage who's played a song for the 400th time this month. You know what I mean?
Let's talk a bit more about the actual music itself and the sound of it and the influences behind it as well. So you've mentioned before the jazz, punk as well, and classical music. They all kind of feed into the music itself. How do you think that comes out on the other end?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's hard when you're in something to see it objectively, but I think those things do come through for sure. You can hear, I mean, because of the saxophones, the jazz thing comes through, and it's usually quite an improvised thing to do with the saxophones. But the way I do vocals, for the most part, is either spoken or shouted, and there's a real dynamic to it. So that's kind of maybe where the punk thing comes in, because I can't really sing in tune very well. So like there's, I think it does shine through in some senses. And the classical thing, maybe it's more to do with harmony or approach to writing, as opposed to in a literal sense, you know. But then again, classical music is so wide. I mean, you know, Vivaldi sounds different from, you know, Xenakis or like some contemporary composer. So it's just about like taking things that excite you in a boundless way, I guess.
So you released your first album, Music for Locations, at the end of last year. How long was that in the works then?
Not too long, to be honest. I guess we probably started recording it. So that was released in November. And I think we started recording it within that year, I think. So it was, you know, writing and recording it. And I work as a recording engineer and a producer. So that kind of coalesces into our releases as well. A lot of maybe what I'm experimenting with turns into our songs.
Mm.
and the other way around as well. But that was a relatively fresh batch of songs. There was nothing there that, you know, had been in the works for years and years and years. It was all within the year, I would say.
And do you develop your songs on tour, or would it be mostly kind of studio bound?
The songs themselves almost entirely in the studio or through, you know, rehearsals. Mm. But a lot of what happens is, if we're improvising and on stage, there's a lot of sections and songs that are, you know, now this is a free section, and people will, you know, we'll just try things out and stuff. That kind of little pockets of that, and almost sometimes entire songs that, you know, have little, in our minds, little signs that go like, now do whatever you want, you know. And so what happens is, sometimes people come up with cool ideas. Like, there was something we had done on a few shows where Thibaut, who plays sax, he, you know, was playing in the higher register, and I started harmonizing with him in like falsetto voice, and that's turned into a new song on the new record. So in some cases, like, yeah, both the studio and touring is kind of like the petri dish for you know, generating the fungus.
God on, oh, what I do best.
You mentioned about kind of experimenting and developing music and stuff. Does that mean you've already have something else on the cards? You have new music coming soon, or is it early days?
It's intentionally early days, actually, because there's like, the next record we're doing is, it's going to stretch us a little bit in terms of, there's just a lot of work to get done. Like, there's a song that has a string quartet in it, so I've had to, it's just string quartet and voice, and so I've had to, you know, try write that out and rehearse that a little bit with the quartet that are playing with us. And then obviously recording it. And additionally, there's a lot of like quite heavy production things where entire songs are recorded multiple times, and it's kind of channel hopping between the different recorded versions to kind of change ambience, you know, on the spot. So there's, I sound like Brian Wilson or some kind of lunatic, but I assure you the record will get done, but it won't be a smile type situation. But because of that, I'm mindful that there's a lot of work to do. So we've started early, but I don't imagine the record will be out until next year.
Well, certainly your music is going down pretty good here at this station. I was telling you just a bit earlier on and a few weeks ago as well that we have a fan of yours working for the station. She heard your music a few weeks ago and absolutely loved it. And she is going to be popping down to your showcases at the greatest. It is, I suppose. Again, it's that sound. Your sound is quite distinct. It's quite unique, which is a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think we just try to do our own thing, and that's why it's exciting if someone enjoys it, because then, you know, we're not pandering to them, and it's you know, people have their freedom as well to listen to whatever they want. So it is nice when someone else does reciprocate some of the enjoyment that you have for your music, I guess.
Now you're playing twice on the 19th at the Great Escape, 3:30 p.m. at the Hope and Ruin, and in the evening at Queen's Hotel. Now you've got 30 minutes in each slot. What do you have planned for those 30 minutes?
I'll probably make jokes for about half of it. I don't know. Usually I'd say probably within a 30 minute set, about 15, 20 minutes would be like planned. Mm. And then about 10 minutes of it is, you know, interpolated amongst the songs as improvisation and stuff. So I'd say if you went to both of them, you'd probably see something different, even if we played the entire same set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cool. If the same names were written on the piece of paper on the floor, I think it would be, it might still be a bit different. So, but yeah, basically my main aim actually is, never mind about the music, I just want to do a live show that is an exact simulacra of my Twitter feed. That's basically my thing. It's just stupid jokes on
Okay.
Twitter, and then move do that live, and that's the plan. And then we can do some music as well if necessary, of course.
So if somebody has had a long day on that Friday and they're like, oh, do you know what, I might take a little break from the music, I want to see some stand up comedy, then you're putting your show out there as the one to go to for that.
Exactly. Yeah, comedy might be a stretch, that word, but certainly, and I do sit down at the drums, so that might be false advertising to say stand up comedy. But I'd say Calm Down anyway. Yeah.
Cool. humor on stage. We'll leave it at that. Very good.
Yeah.
So listen, if people want to find out more about yourselves and your music, you're available on all the social medias, including Instagram, I believe, which you've just joined recently.
That's correct. Yep, we have joined 2014. We're now here to put really bad filters on pictures. If you want to see us doing that, we have Instagram.
Check you out. And where can people find you? What's the username that you're using at the moment?
It's Robo Cobra Quartet. R-O-B-O-C-O-B-R-A and then Quartet. And then the Twitter one, unfortunately, has a character limit. So it says Robo Cobra Quartet and it doesn't let you type the T, which is so dissatisfying. So we went for Robo Cobra Quartz with a Z, which is very confusing, actually, when I try to explain it over the phone.
Google
is your friend.
Yeah, your social media strategy crumbles sometimes at the
when the word limit. What are you going to do? Like,
yeah. Well, listen, Chris, thanks a million for chatting to us today, and really looking forward to seeing
thanks
you at the Great Escape. And
likewise.
Enjoy the festival yourself.
Yeah, and tell your colleague in the station that I said thanks for listening. Tell them that I said hi.